Welcome to Finding Meaning in the Mysterious. I'm your host, Marcy Wise, and I've spent the majority of my life examining our journey with an analytical eye and an open heart. Even as a child, I was in awe of the amazing wonders of the unexplained. I desired to know the truth, not someone else's truth, but the truth I would recognize by my own inner knowing. I entered the world of mass communications in order to bring people understanding and valuable information to help them in their daily lives. My efforts have brought me here, to you, and together we will explore the greatest mysteries of life and attempt to perceive their truths through our own investigation. However, in this forum, we will not only judge using our minds, but by using our hearts as well. Because true knowing always comes from within the heart of each individual, and my goal is to put you in touch with your own inner knowing. Let us begin. Welcome to part two of our series on the mind-body-spirit connection. Today we're talking about balancing our bodies. It's no secret that the harmful toxins in our atmosphere are harming our earth, so it shouldn't come as a surprise that it's taking its toll on us too. But how can we fight what's all around us? Well, today we'll talk to some of the top experts in the field of detoxification. We'll find out how to release those harmful toxins, learn how to better manage stress, and examine the use of probiotics in our diets. We'll also take a look at non-traditional ways to approach chronic pain and disease, because how can you even hope to be your best when you're not feeling your best? It's time that we finally broke free from our physical limitations, so let's get started. Our first guest is a New York Times best-selling author and among the foremost authorities today on natural detoxification methods. Her latest book, The Detox Strategy, Vibrant Health in 5 Easy Steps, examines the ever-increasing number of toxins present in our environment and offers practical strategies to eliminate them from our daily lives and help us achieve an optimum state of well-being. Welcome naturopathic doctor and certified nutritional consultant, Brenda Watson. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
So let me ask you, we all know that we're living in a world, it's full of carbon emissions, pesticides, and preservatives, but what are some warning signs that a person may have a buildup of these harmful toxins in their system?
Well, in terms of a warning sign, people have them all the time. If you have headaches or you have fatigue or you have, respiratory issues, allergies, all of these symptoms that people experience at some level have to do with inflammatory conditions caused by, when you get down to the bottom of the barrel, caused by partly our toxic environment. I don't know, 6 years ago, Dr. Smith, who's my co-author of my book, and I are discussing, he said, Brenda, one day we're going to be living in a toxic soup. And little did I know how quickly that information would come directly through our media and into our lives through the Environmental Protection Agency.
So you basically were feeling these same effects yourself.
Oh, yeah. I came into the natural healing profession due to the fact that I had experienced really poor health as a child due to the fact that my, overuse of antibiotics and poor digestion had compounded itself into other problems throughout my whole life until my early 30s when I began to change my diet and lifestyle and the way I look at, my relationships, all of the things that you talk about. But part of it is when you feel good, when you feel physically good, Marcy, there's nothing like that. When you have fatigue, when you have headaches, when you have joint pain, when you have any of these things that people, everyone is walking around with today, you don't have a full life.
No,
you do not.
Right. And we're talking about the mind-body-spirit connection. Really, the body, if you don't feel well, you can't expect to be your best, whether you consider yourself the most intellectual person in the world or you meditate daily or whatever, right?
It doesn't matter, absolutely, because I've been there and I still go there. I'm going to tell you, I'm not sitting here like sitting on a pedestal to you saying that I can control what I eat, I can control what I exercise, I control a lot of things, but I certainly don't have control of this environment.
Right, right.
We don't. We have become in a way, I don't want to say we're victims. Victim is not a word I want to be associated with. But we have become unable to affect right now, currently where we are in the now, we have currently been able to unaffect the thousands of chemicals that are dumped into our food, water, and air every single day. We all know, those of us that are conscious, we all know that it's not the best place to be. We all try to do what we can as individuals to help the whole, those of us that are conscious. Many people still are unconscious. Those are the ones that are still buying a lot of the processed foods, feeding it to their children. You know what I mean? Not understanding that their inner environment in their homes are 10 times more toxic than their outer environment of the air outside. That's the biggest, you know, thing we've got to work on is awareness to the mass people who are just walking around like the walking wounded.
Right. Well, we've never been taught that. I mean, no. what are some of the most common toxins that we do encounter in our daily lives?
Well, the most common ones that we have actually are just what you were saying, air emissions, pesticides, preservatives. We're dealing with outgassing of our, you know, furniture, our clothing. That's anybody that wears dry, clean goods that they don't air outside before they bring into their house. I mean, this is how detailed it gets, and especially in the detox strategy that I outline in detail, little teeny things that we can do, like cleaning up the inside of our home before we even start on our body. Your body's your biggest toxic dump site, believe me, because your skin is just a big sieve. But anyway, your home is the first place to start, and the consciousness around what you're eating, but your home is first. Plants help, green plants help in a home. You know, using green products whenever you can. If you look at the labels on the common household cleaners that are under the sink, 99% of them don't even have label claim on them because they don't have to. They don't have to. I read just every day I'm reading on someone else, some other company, large company, that has the ability to produce something and not give us all the information. So we've been sort of dummied down on what we've been using for decades in our foods, pesticides, all the things that we're now saying, oh, wait, we got to clean up our earth. We got to clean this mess up. Yeah. And we, if people like us that are conscious and people that listen to your show that are conscious and they want to do something about it, but it's a mass awareness that has to happen, you know that. And every single one of us that put the energy out forward to clean up their life affects the whole.
Right, right. Well, I think what's happening to most people is exactly what happened to you. We're getting to the point where after years of just living the, you know, especially in America, the way we do with fast food and whatever, that it's starting to really, it takes its toll on you about the age of 30 or 40, and you realize, I feel like I'm 70. So then you start to look at things. Awareness starts to grow, and then you decide, oh my gosh, I've been doing everything wrong for the last 30, 40 years of my life.
It takes a proactive approach to cleaning up your body by not only understanding what you're putting in your body, Marcy, but understanding that a couple of times a year, doing some preventive herbal detoxification, drinking plenty of water with it, doing a simple program. There's plenty of programs out there. We outline them in detox strategy, but that's a proactive approach.
That's what we want to do. Yeah. We want to take a proactive approach. And, you know, you talk about the water. What about the water that we drink? Is it okay to drink straight from the tap, or do we need like a purified or enhanced water?
I would say we need purified or enhanced water for sure. I don't know about enhanced, but we certainly need purified water. And, of course, I use RO because I want to save on plastic.
Well, I was surprised when I read off on your website. I didn't even know. Apparently, they have these special bottles now with filters built right in them.
Yes. Actually, that is such a great story. I met this person. Actually, I think they are part of the this man, and he has so many patents on this water, and it's a filter you can put right in a bottle, and it'll filter everything out. And I'm thinking, wow, why don't we use this in third world countries? I mean, it can even take out the teeniest vibe, anything that could, you could put that, one of those filters, he makes one of those filters, you could even take sewer water, and it would at least be clean. It probably wouldn't taste well, but it would not have any contaminants in it. So those are things I think planet-wise, you know, in looking at us personally, we could do things like filtering even tap water, and it would be cost effective. Do you see that? You wouldn't even have to go to an RO unit if you didn't want to spend the money.
Exactly, and you wouldn't fill the landfills with all those bottles and mm-hmm. on and on and on. What are just some basic and simple changes we can make to our lifestyles that will help?
First of all, you know, getting into the green products, they're now available everywhere. I would also, if you can, use the the lights that do not outgas mercury. They're called Full Spectrum, and those are available online. I'm sure you can go online and buy those. I had those put throughout my building at the office. I don't want to outgas mercury to my employees, and I certainly don't want to outgas mercury in my home. You know, putting a lot of plants in your home would be a good approach because that helps with cleaning up the air. As much as you can, eat organic. I'm so aware that organic is expensive. Buy these washes that they sell in the supermarkets and the health food stores. Soak your vegetables. You can get a lot of the pesticide residue out of them, and it doesn't cost anything. And I even do that. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency has a list of the Dirty Dozen on their website, and those are the list of the fruits and vegetables that contain the most pesticides. So those, as much as possible, make sure you soak. I'm not talking about just rinsing something off with water. There's a big difference in that.
But let's just say that we decide that we want to try to do a detox and eliminate some of the chemicals that we already have in our body. What are the first steps that a beginner should take?
Well, I think the first steps is look at yourself and say, what am I realistically going to do? Look at your lifestyle. How busy are you? There's programs available for 7 days, 14 days, and a month. Now, you do not have to fast. I would not suggest it unless you're under the care of a healthcare practitioner. That is not something that people that have blood sugar issues, and a lot of times you have those folks and don't even know it. So I don't recommend it to the average person. I would recommend you go to your health food store and look for a good herbal program. Like I said, you can find them in weeks, and you want something that works on the four major channels of elimination: skin, lungs, kidneys, and colon. And remember, cleansing isn't just colon flushing. That is a misperception. Total body cleansing means you're supporting with herbs that specifically target the four channels of elimination. Like, for example, mullein would be for the lung. Your skin might be oat straw. You're in a program, you're going to see an array of herbs. You also want a heavy focus on the liver. Remember, the liver is filtering your blood. Your blood is what's feeding your cells, tissues, and organs. So when you clean the blood, you clean the cells, tissues, and organs. So you want, as the blood circulates through the liver, that the liver is able to filter. Here's where the cog in the wheel is in that liver of people today. And that's the reason that people become toxic and store toxins in the fat cells of their body. It's because their liver is not filtering the toxins out of the body through the skin, through the lungs, through the kidneys, or through the colon, because they're getting stuck in the liver because the liver is overworked. The liver has 500 functions. Only part of that is detoxification. So you have a two-phase process in your liver. So you want milk thistle, dandelion, blueperum. These kinds of herbs sort of metabolically make the liver release more toxicity into your digestive tract. So the second part of the program is fiber. So okay. First, good targeted total body organic cleanse, whatever, that targets your channels of elimination in your liver. Then you want to make sure that you add into that program, at least before bed at night, a good scoop of healthy flax fiber. I recommend, oat, flax, acacia. I don't particularly love psyllium. For many women, they can become really gassy and bloated. So that's your personal choice. Just, if you use psyllium and it's fine, then use it. If you don't and you've had problems with it, go over to flax. Oat, or there's all kinds of combinations. There's triple fibers, all that out there. So go to a triple fiber or something like that and add fiber in the evening, and your progress will usually be in two parts. You'll take the non-colon formula in the morning that works on your liver, lungs, and skin and kidneys, and then at night before bed, you take with a big scoop of fiber some of your colon formula, and you have to ask the question in your store when you purchase any product: they need to ask you, how well do you eliminate daily? Because that determines the kind of product in terms of the colon portion of the product. For example, if you go and you eliminate every day, you want to really start with, and you've never cleansed before, you want to start with a product that has a very gentle colon stimulation, not something that's heavy with cascara or senna or something like that. It'll be overpowering.
So when you go to a health food store, they will be educated in what products will work better for you.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And then you can always go on to detoxstrategy.com and ask us questions. I actually have a four-man team at answering questions to people, because detox is, I did this for, by the way, so people know, I ran detox programs for almost 10 years in a clinic. So I'm very well versed at the, you know, and we did it also with, you know, doing colonics and also doing sweating with sauna. So we had like a four-part program, and along with the herbal programs, if you can, you know, get in a sauna, if you can run, stimulate, sweating is a big part of detox,
right?
Especially with heavy metals, getting them out of the body.
Because you say the skin is just another organ, so.
It's a big, huge organ, and everything we slather on in the morning is going into our system, and that's the other issue.
How do you feel about deodorants and that sort of thing?
I think that they should be using products that are natural from a health food store that are not, do not have aluminum in them.
Okay.
Because I think that that area is very, especially in women, near the lymphatic flow. And I would be very careful with especially women and putting a lot of chemical in that area of my body.
Well, I've heard that it's common to feel worse rather than better right after starting detoxification. Is that true?
It can be that you might feel a little sluggish. You A headache as the liver cleans itself. You've got to drink plenty of water. That's very important. I would drink a glass of lemon water every morning when you get out of bed. But here's the thing. You don't have to feel that way. If you start a program, do it at half strength to start the first few days. I would also start a program on a weekend, you know. So, that, again, these are just common sense principles. Start it on a weekend. If you have the teeniest tinge of intuition or doubt that you are going to, that you are toxic, you are already overweight, because if you're overweight, you're toxic.
But so these detoxification systems are available at health food stores. You don't have to go
Oh, yeah.
And buy all of these little things yourself. They're all in one container.
Yeah, and I would be really careful of the websites that show all this stuff coming out of the body. And we've known centuries that herbs like milk thistle and dandelion and these herbs help the liver. Beware of things where you see these pictures and people are making these outrageous claims. Go to trusted companies. There's plenty of them in the industry. Make sure they're GMP certified. That means good manufacturing practices. And you have the right to ask that in any product that you purchase, even online.
Well, I know this is just your opinion, but what do you think of those like foot pads you see advertised so often?
You know, I think that the amount of toxin that you can get in a foot pad is minuscule compared to what's in your body.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so minute compared to what we're... Let me give you an example. In 06, they dumped 4.3 billion tons of chemicals on us. If you divided that up per person in the United States, that's 15 pounds apiece.
Mm.
That's the size of a bowling ball.
Wow.
That gives you a visual. So we're dealing, when the Environmental Protection Agency went in and tested people's blood and urine across the United States randomly, they found the average person carries 91 chemicals. So I'm not here saying to you folks, you're going to take all these chemicals out of your bloodstream, because you're not today. It's not going to happen, but you can get them down. You see what I mean? Because even the scientists say it's not that we're dealing with one or two chemicals. We're dealing with thousands of them. And we don't know synergistically what that means in a physical body.
Say our bodies are created to get rid of some of those naturally, right, if it's not totally
absolutely
overwhelmed by too many.
Absolutely. But absolutely. But that's why you're seeing what you're seeing today. We are absolutely designed to detoxify. But when you throw in stress levels, no nutrients in the foods because we've taken the topsoil off of our planet's garden. You throw in a massive amount of chemicals. You throw in the processed foods. I mean, come on, what do you expect? I mean, we're only human, right?
Right. I would guess that moderation is the key. Could it be dangerous if you took detoxification methods to the extreme?
Yes, I do believe it could for the average person that is not having some supervision if you took them to the extreme. And people, you know, I'm interviewed a lot by people who like have these fad diets to lose weight. That's not what I'm talking about here. Of course, when we have a goal of weight loss, I want to see people reach a goal and cleanse their bodies out, you know, and lose weight. I'm not saying that, but these programs that are out there that are juices or they're, you know, lose weight. And I mean, I read in the paper recently, women, of course, are still unhappy with their physical bodies, and they still think that they can take a pill or do a 3-day fast or something like that in a bottle, and they're going to have weight loss. And it's just not what we're looking for in reality. It's not reality. And so anything where you radically change something in your body, even if it's from a bad to a good, you can have an adverse reaction to it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you quit eating sugar and you've eaten sugar, you're going to have a reaction to not eating sugar. You're going to have a headache. You're going to be irritable because that sugar is doing something in your body that is chemically activating neurotransmitters in the brain. And when you take that away, whether it's sugar or smoking or any addiction, you have a reaction. And sometimes that reaction isn't so good. So radically doing anything I'm against, unless you're under the care of a doctor. And a lot of these people, these stars and all this that have this approach of taking a program, they're under the care of the doctor because they have the money. My approaches in the detox strategy are practical and they're moderate.
Right.
And that's
right.
The difference.
Now, mm-hmm. I recently bought one of those juicers, you know, the big commercial ones mm-hmm. you see. I thought, well, there's no way I could eat all these vegetables and things that they asked me to. So I bought one of those. How do you feel about that? Is that a good
way? I love them. Yes, that's a great thing to do. And I applaud you for that. And anyone who wants to do juicing, you know, and if you juiced along with your herbal program that you were taking for whatever time you want to do it, that's a plus. That's a big plus, and that's also outlined in the detox strategy, that if you want to add juicing, and that's a great way to get the concentration of the nutrients from the juice in. But remember, if you juice the fiber out, you must add that fiber back in before bed, like I said, because the juicing is putting the pure nutrient into the digestive tract, and you're taking the fiber out. And if you're not, if you do, you know, sometimes people who do juice fasting don't realize that. And they take the juice and they take the fiber out of it and drink the juice, right? Well, your colon will not respond after a day or so of juicing because it doesn't have enough fiber in the juice. So people tend to, in a juice fast, get constipated.
Oh, okay.
I know that sounds nuts, but it's true.
Oh, okay. Because there's not enough bulk there to do what they need
to do. There's no bulk. The colon might contract. But in the contraction, it's a muscle contraction, and it's got to have, it's a wave-like muscle contraction, and it's got to have a bulking agent there to push against. Mm-hmm. So the problem I found in clinics working with people, and I started from the works of Dr. Bernard Jensen, who was, you know, a wacko way back there. Today he'd probably be applauded as the genius of the world, now being, you know, it's so funny, isn't it? All these wackos, I was a wacko 20 years ago, and now I'm like this genius. Everybody's wanting to talk to me about detox, and I started doing it, and people were like, are you kidding me? You are a freak.
But, you know, I like to think of it as free thinkers ahead of your time. And that's what we're seeing, isn't it? If you go with what's always been done, it doesn't always work out. So
I know. It's so funny, Marcy, though. I look at it. I've been doing this 20 years, and now everybody's this detox, you know, detox magician. And I'm thinking, you weren't saying that to me 20 years ago.
Well, how often do you recommend people do an internal cleanse? I mean, should it be done every so often once you do get it yourself cleaned out?
I think twice a year is a good approach, spring and fall, maybe sometimes after Christmas.
Okay.
And never think that the body doesn't move with the cycles of the planet, because it does.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the, you know, women's cycles are move with the moon. And our body is vibrating with the energy of this planet. And so never think that that your body is not moving in cycles, just like the trees, just like the flowers. You're in a motion of cleansing and rebuilding and cleansing and rebuilding. And the spring and the fall, these are times when the body's naturally in these cycles because nature's in the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that because it is all about sorting, getting back to what is natural for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about probiotics. We're hearing a lot about that now. What is it? What are probiotics?
They are good bacteria, and I think that the media has gotten across to people now that bacteria is not a bad word.
Mm-hmm. Good bacteria.
It's a good word in many cases. The average person carries around a brick of bacteria in their gut. That's a good visual for radio. And if 80% of that is good, you are probably pretty healthy. You develop that bacteria in a healthy person within a week of being born. Mm-hmm. And if you are a cesarean baby, then you will have more of a problem in developing that bacteria. It could take you up to 2 years. So these are the things mothers need to know about their children. And if you're breastfed, you have a better chance. If you're bottle fed, you have less chance of developing the good bacteria. Now, your bacteria develops in your own body, and what does it do? You make B vitamins from it. Pretty big thing. Mm-hmm. It's your natural antibiotic. Pretty big thing. It digests the foods, helps you digest foods. That's pretty big too. But it's also, if you kind of think of topsoil of planet Earth, right? We know that rich topsoil is where we grow good crops. We know that in today's world, we strip the topsoil of the planet due to agricultural farming. In our environment, in what we call the terrain, the inner terrain, we have a topsoil, so to speak, just like I said the planet does. That topsoil is your good bacteria. You're always going to have negative bacteria in your gut, Marcy. Everybody does. It's like an environment where, you know how you keep bugs at a certain level in your yard? You're like, okay, I got so many of these bugs, and by golly, they're not going above that level. At that tolerant level, I'm over it. Well, that's sort of like in your gut. You take rounds of antibiotics, and you wipe the good guys out, and they try to repopulate.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in many people, the immune system's already depressed due to other factors,
mm-hmm.
and the repopulation of that doesn't happen. And so we hear a lot about, you know, what is good bacteria? Lactobacillus is one form of it. That's mainly in your small intestine. Your bifido, B-F-I-D-O, is the main good bacteria in your colon, and that decreases with age. Now, that's why you see many of your senior citizens with bowel problems, because the bifido lowers, and that's your main good bacteria in the colon. So the problem that we have is we have an imbalance of good bacteria to bad bacteria ratios in the average person today, and that's why you see the big bugs out there, the antibiotic-resistant bacteria like C. diff and MRSA, and all those, and they're going to become more rampant, and that's why mass media has now gotten some studies behind probiotics, and it's going to become the next multivitamin or fiber formula.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the bandwagon with probiotics 20 years ago. I realized in the marketplace we weren't putting enough bifido in our formulas to make even a drop in the ocean.
Is that what I'm seeing in yogurts now? Yogurts?
Yeah, it's not enough to repopulate. You need to go in and get a supplement, and the supplements you need to count the billions. B-I-L-L, just like the government's counting them.
Mm.
We count them inside.
Okay.
B-I-L-L-I-O-N-S, billions. Just look at your bottle, and if you're in somewhere between, I'd say, starting with just immunity in terms of reasonable, you're reasonably healthy, you need to be started in the 20 billion. If you're in critical problems, you can go, there's the powders now at 200 billion. I would at least, if you're over, say, 40, I would get into the senior formulas that are like at 30 billion, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we used to put out programs and products that were 1 billion, 2 billion. Those are not even credible formulas anymore, really, on the market because they don't follow the studies.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that should avoid taking probiotics, such as people with autoimmune disorders?
Absolutely not. There's no one on this planet that should not be taking probiotics at this point in survival where we are in this moment right now.
Oh, okay, great. I also recently read an article that said that probiotics may help with weight loss. Do you believe that?
I think it could in this reproach because of something called yeast, which is a whole show. Yeast in the gut. Yeast is not a bacteria, it's a yeast. But we all have it, and it's not bad. We have good yeast and we have bad yeast, just so we have good bacteria and bad bacteria. Yeast is a living organism, Marcy, and I want you to try to grasp this. Many people walk around with brain fog, okay, foggy in the head. And when the yeast is overgrown in the gut, they have bad breath, they have foggy in the head feeling. And the other thing that happens is the yeast, in order to live, has to have sugar, mm-hmm. okay? What do you crave when you are overweight?
Right. So it's kind of a catch-22. One thing feeds the other, and once you're in that cycle, it's hard to get out of it.
It sure is. It's a vicious cycle.
Well, one of the things I love about your work is that, you know, you're very honest. You say there's no magic bullet for this.
Nope.
You know, we really just have to learn to restructure our habits and include healthier lifestyle choices, right?
And what you focus on with your intent, you will bring to fruition. And that I do believe. If you don't want to focus on your body and you don't care about it, then that's fine. You don't have to. And we don't have to do anything. We can do whatever we want. But if we want to, like, feel good, and I got to tell you, folks, as you're getting older, you will take a better approach to your body. I think you'll respect it more as we grow older. I respected it more in my 30s because I had pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew when I worked in clinics that pain was the major motivator for people coming in. And if you're already young and having it, then, you know, get a hold of it. And remember, your body is your communication vehicle. And we communicate with it. It's an energetic field, and we need to respect it.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think that's wonderful advice because obviously when we feel better, you know, we do better. So please tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and a lot of the wonderful tools that you have to offer.
Okay, they can go to brendawatson.com. They can go to detoxstrategy.com. They can go to any of these websites, and they can find out. And that's the easiest way to do it.
Wonderful. And that'll be a great tool for them, too. If they do decide to start a detox, they can go there, ask any questions that they may have, and you'll answer them?
I certainly will.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brenda.
Thank you.
You take care. We know that we need to be more proactive with our own health. We need to take notice of what's entering our bodies, and we need to make healthier choices. And now we have some information on how to purge our bodies of some of those harmful toxins that are starting to take their toll on us. But there's another factor that we often shove to the back of our minds that directly affects our health, and that's stress. Worry and disease are linked hand in hand. And with the world economy such as it is, it can seem almost impossible to think that we can overcome stress. But we can. We really can. And it just has to be a conscious choice that we make. Here are 5 ways to reduce your stress level. 1, write down what's bothering you. Make to-do lists of things that you need to take care of so that you're not constantly rehashing them in your mind so that you don't forget them. I do that all the time. I keep going over and over it so I won't forget. And if I'd just written it down, I would have been fine to begin with. So write it and release it until it's time to actually do something about it. When you're writing it down, actually decide what action you're going to take to resolve that issue and write that down too. It's all there in black and white. No reason to think about it further. 2, exercise regularly. Yes, this helps to keep your body strong, but more importantly, it gets rid of that nervous energy and those pent-up frustrations that you hold inside. Also, the endorphins that are released in your brain from exercise help you to mentally feel calmer as well. 3, sleep. If you can't shut off your overactive mind at will, then go into shutdown mode by sleeping. It rejuvenates your mind, and who knows, through dreaming, maybe your subconscious mind will even solve the problem for you. You know, don't laugh. It's happened. 4, if you feel really frazzled, take the day off. Call in sick to work, whatever you have to do, and then make yourself indulge in all of your favorite things. Just consider it a prescription for good health. Go to an amusement park, take a bubble bath, play your favorite sport, whatever it is that takes you back to that place of joy. And 5, finally, and this is a biggie, surrender. Worry never really helped anything anyway. You've already made your list of actions and what you're going to do about your problem, so now let it go. The freedom that you feel when you know things aren't really in your control anyway is liberating, and it will allow you to find that much-needed peace of mind. But what do you do if you're already afflicted with chronic pain or disease? How do you rise above this sort of adversity and not only survive, but thrive? Our next guest knows only too well. Not only is she fighting her own battle with chronic pain, but she's also the host of her own radio show, Winning Life Through Pain, where she shares the inspiring stories of others who have regained their lives. Welcome RSD coach Marla Martindale. Hi, Marla.
Hi, Marcy. Hey. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, first, tell us a little bit about your situation and what led you to make this your life's work.
Actually, in 2003, I had severely broke my left ankle on both sides, and from that ensued the RSD, which is short for reflex sympathetic dystrophy. I had my little share of pity parties, and then I got my bootstraps pulled up by myself and decided that nobody could really help me any better than myself, so I better get to doing something, you know. Mm-hmm. So through the journey of not having very much information available at that time and trying to deal with it all on my own, because there wasn't anybody to help me through it, to guide me or to coach me in any way, shape, or form, you know, the physical therapy was a good start, but...
Right. But you kind of had to find your own way through it.
I did. And there wasn't a lot to know. You know, there wasn't, it's still to this very day, not very many doctors know that much about RSD. So information is getting a little bit more prevalent, but not like it needs to be.
Right. Well, many times, I love the way that you approach that, because many times we allow something like that to define us, but we really are much more than our circumstances, aren't we?
Oh, most definitely. I was really, really happy and complacent in my life prior to the breaking of my ankle. I worked at the local hospital in the office with the attorneys doing the lawsuits. It was fun. It was exciting. I thought, oh, I could just retire here. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever expect for my life to take such an awesome adventure that it has taken. It's all been a true unknown journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've managed to find the mental strength to turn this challenge into an opportunity for growth. And you say there are 10 crucial steps that you have to take in order to move from patient back to person, like you did, right?
Correct.
And the first one is you have to accept the pain.
That is a vital, vital step. That's why it's first, because once you accept the pain, then you can start moving on. You need to learn everything that you possibly can about what's going on with your body and understand that there's maybe no cure right now. So you have to accept it and deal with what's going on and deal with the fact that, you know, you have the pain in your life right now, but there's always hope that tomorrow may bring a cure or another alternative. There's always hope.
Right. And you say get involved, be an active participant in your own recovery.
Most definitely. It's like I was saying, nobody's going to do anything better for you than you can do for yourself. You know, so take that active role in your own recovery. You know, of course, follow what your doctor says, but see about going from being that person that sits on that table just to what he suggests, you know, like the passive patient, into more of a partnership with your own healthcare. Because you are the consumer for that physician, and you have the right, you know, to say, I want to try this, let's do this, or, you know, something.
Right, because nobody knows your own body as well as you do.
Exactly.
Right. And then also you have to set priorities.
Right, and that's very important, too, because if you don't learn to look beyond your pain, to things that are more important in your life than focusing on that pain, then you can't really take an active part into your life again. And that, you know, you can't win your life back. And that's why, you know, the radio show is called Winning Life Through Pain. And, you know, mm-hmm. You get to win your life back once you start setting your priorities and listing the things that you, you know, you want to do and finding a comparable starting point, even if it's a huge thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that can be hard, you know, harder to do than, you know, it sounds, right?
Yes, it can. It can. It's helpful if you're a motivational type person. You've got the motivation within yourself to set your own priorities, because you may not know where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where being an RSD coach, I can, you know, help walk you through that particular step. Well, all of them, in fact, and beyond, but that one is one that a lot of people do get stuck on.
And sometimes these little diversions, these, you know, seemingly negative things that happen to us, may be just the impetus to put us on maybe a path we were meant to be on. You know, there's that saying, there are no accidents, or everything happens for a reason. Do you
exactly.
believe that?
I sure do. I sure do. I've never believed it more than I do now. Who would have thought breaking my ankle would have given me so many blessings?
Mm-hmm. So it changed your life.
It did. It changed it for the better. The better, better, better. I can't even emphasize enough how blessed I feel that my life is, to a point where I would have never, ever even dreamt it could have been.
Right. And it all came from breaking your ankle.
Exactly. From a total accident.
Right, right. Well, you say also when you're setting goals, you need to make sure you keep them realistic.
Exactly, because if you don't, you could put something out there like, well, one day I want to have a BMW. Well, what are you going to do when you don't get that BMW?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're going to feel like you've let yourself down. So if you keep them realistic and remember that, you know, you got to walk before you can run, so you set them small and then build up. Say, you know, today I'm going to, walk 10 minutes. So you walk 10 minutes. Well, tomorrow I'm going to walk 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So you just keep pushing yourself a little bit farther?
Exactly. And then you'll be really able to do all of the things in your life that you really thought you were just totally restricted from in the very beginning.
Well, I always think it's pretty amazing, you know, when you do that, how, you know, it doesn't seem like you're doing that much day by day, but then if you stop and you look back, you know, where you are now from where you were a year ago, it's pretty amazing.
It is. It is. And plus, when you do it step by step, it gives you time to really enjoy all of your successes. And that's something you really need to focus on, is I've done that. You know, be proud that you accomplished something that day.
Right. Give yourself credit.
Yes.
Right.
That
and
proverbial pat on the back.
Yeah. And I suppose having an illness like that, it makes you appreciate today more, doesn't it?
Ooh, yes. I wake up every morning with a new sense of, let me find out what the beauty of the day is going to hold for me. I notice things more frequent. Like, used to be just drive down the road. I knew the way. I didn't really pay attention to the surroundings. Now I notice everything.
And your life is so much fuller.
It is. It has been enriched to what I think is the max, but I know there's more coming, you know?
Right, because we can't see the big picture.
That's it.
You say also it's important to know your rights.
Definitely. You know, you as a patient, as a human, you have rights. You have your basic rights, and then as a pain patient, you have pain rights. You have the right, first and foremost, that, you know, you're a human being, and you need to be treated with respect. And, you know, you don't need to feel guilty because you say, no, I can't go shopping with you today, Sally. I gotta kind of chill out for the day. I'm tired, or I don't feel well, or something. Don't feel guilty about that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your right. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, if you don't walk that extra 2 minutes that we were talking about, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Try for it again the next day. You know, it's you you just need to start realizing that people need to treat you as they treated you before, and the utmost treatment was the one of respect.
Right, right. And that we're all entitled to that, aren't we?
Yes,
sick,
ma'am.
Sick or well, doesn't matter, doesn't matter.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think, too, you have to acknowledge those emotions that are inside of you.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, and it's very stressful. But you got to realize that, you know, your mind, your body, they're one. And in that also is your spirit. And it's a circle that just goes around. Mm-hmm. And if one of those breaks off, it's, you know, your emotion that you feel from that can really, really affect that day's worth of pain. You know, it can increase it tremendously. So once you can reduce the stress that's around you, it will decrease the pain, and you'll start feeling better. So you got to recognize, you know, okay, am I just tired today, or am I really starting to get depressed? Or why am I weepy today? Is it my allergies, or is there something going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes sickness can help to put you more in touch with why you're feeling what you're feeling. Then, you know, maybe we don't even address those when we're feeling well. We just push that aside and forge onward, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, you need to take time to learn to listen to your body, because your body will tell you so much.
Mm-hmm. We talked earlier in the show about how important it is to manage stress in your life. And mm-hmm. I know that you say that learning to relax is crucially important when learning to manage pain.
Oh, yes. You know, because if you don't relax, then all of the day's living, because there's a lot of obstacles and hurdles that one has to deal with in a daily life of being a chronic pain individual. And if you don't learn to jump those hurdles and de-stress, then, you know, your pain is just going to be astronomical. So if you can learn some relaxation exercises, like, you know, deep breathing, you know, and breathing the right way. A lot of people don't understand that their stomach goes out when they breathe in.
Oh.
You know, uh-huh. So they have to learn to do that because they consciously can't do it.
You have to learn to breathe. Who knew?
That's right. Yeah, because when you consciously think about your breathing and you take a deep breath, your stomach goes in. You naturally want to suck it in. Well, no. Naturally, it goes out so that your lungs can take in all that air.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I never thought about that before.
See? And if you can learn some, like, visualization techniques or there's other relaxation techniques out there as well, but all of that can help you better manage that pain that you're feeling, and it will, you know, so de-stress you and make your day just a little bit brighter.
Right, right. And, you know, when you're hurting, maybe exercise is something you think that you're going to have to give up, or, you know, I won't have the opportunity to do that anymore, but you say that's a mistake.
It is a mistake. Now, aggressive physical therapy for somebody with chronic pain is a mistake. You know, don't do that. I wouldn't advise that unless you're first diagnosed and you're within the, especially with RSD, within the first 3 months that, you know, you can do that and get set into what's classified as remission. But other than that, you need to just do some light exercises because unused muscles, they feel the pain a whole lot more than those that are, like, toned and more flexible. You know, and your doctor, he can help you, he or she can help you come up with a modest exercise program that you can do that can help, you know, build up your strength, because once you build up your strength, then your pain can decrease as well. And that's the name of the game, is how to get that pain to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you'll feel better about yourself too.
I've heard it said that our bodies are not really designed to be at rest like they are in our current modern society. I mean, we were made to be out, you know, maybe hoeing fields and all those things that we
exactly.
Yeah, so maybe we really aren't doing ourselves any favors by sitting on the couch with a remote control.
No, that's why that term, I think, couch potato was invented.
Yeah,
because you just kind of turn into a big brown blob.
It's easy to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's okay to do it for a while. But you're going to have to get up and just move. I don't care if you get up and wiggle your hips. That's the only thing you can do. Just do something to get the blood flowing so that, you know, your body can be re-energized.
And it's important to take a distant stance and try to see the total picture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't walk through life with blinders, you know. Because as you learn to set your priorities and you reach your goals and start asserting those basic rights, start dealing with your feelings and then relaxing and regaining control of your body, you'll see that the pain doesn't need to be the center of your life anymore. You can choose to focus on your abilities, not the disabilities.
Mm, that's a good point.
So, you know, you'll grow stronger in your belief that you can, and yes, you can. I'm living proof that you can live what everybody classifies the normal life in spite of having all of that chronic pain that you have from sunup to sundown and beyond.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe not even just a normal life, but a better life because of it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then exactly. Finally, you know, it's important to reach out to people. You're not alone.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's estimated that one person in three will suffer from some form of chronic pain. So once you find a way to manage your own pain, then reach out and share what you know, what you've learned with others. You know, living with a chronic pain is nothing but an ongoing learning experience. So, you know, we all need to support and learn from each other each and every day, if at all possible.
Well, I think that's great advice. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that I think distinguishes people that are successful from people that aren't is how you respond to those sort of things. And so you've really done great. So you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. I do take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, first and foremost, I became the RSD coach. There isn't another one I met, mm-hmm. and I love it. I get to help so many people.
How common is it?
It is more common than you would think. The last count I read, I believe there was 2.5 million
wow.
Americans.
Okay.
That's just in the United States that have.
Well, I know your website is www.rsdcoach.com, but how can people tune into your radio show?
They can go to www.rsdcoachlive.com, and it's every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central Time.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for joining us. This is great advice, and we wish you ongoing success with helping people, you know, rise above the challenges that come to them in their lives.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcia. I appreciate it very much, and God bless everybody.
So living in the world today, we face many challenges, and facing adversity with dignity and integrity can be difficult, but it's certainly not impossible. In part three of our series on the mind-body-spirit connection, we'll tackle strengthening our spirits. Through the practices of meditation, creative visualization, and prayer, we'll discover not only how to create a safe haven for ourselves in troubled times, but also learn how to tap into our greatest inspirations. We'll offer tried and true methods to sweep you away from the everyday and return your soul to a place of peace and joy. So please join us.
Thanks for joining us for Finding Meaning in the Mysterious and letting us be a part of your spiritual adventure. To share your own story of transformation or to sign up for our monthly newsletter, send me an email at marcywise@host.theshipradio.com. Remember, you have the power to discover life's greatest truths, but first you must begin to hear that small, still voice of spirit. And when you do, no one can stand in judgment of that which you feel in your heart. Until we meet again, here's wishing you faith, peace, and happiness.